This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
They came to your house, ate your chicken, opened your refrigerator, took a shower, and lay butt naked on your couch with the remote.
Trades are hard. Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, it's crossover time, and it's brought to you by Abundant Life Weight Loss. They know the secret to losing up to 1 pound of fat every day. Go to AbundantLifeWeightLoss.com. What's up, gentlemen?
What's up,
Steiny? How's it going?
Hi, boys. How we doing? Can I say how we're really doing?
I would expect nothing less.
Luca the Don is incredible. Say what you want, the body shaming, the jokes. At the game of basketball, what we saw and what we've really seen, that was special, man.
Yeah.
That's all I would say.
It's hard to find a comp in the history, but I'm thinking about an amalgamation sensation, a combo. Little bit of Larry Bird.
Got it.
Also some Jack Sigma in there. Not quite the same body. Low post, but the same kind of slow motion bucket getting
Gus Williams.
Caucasian-esque sort of a vibe.
I'm not mad at that.
I mean, he's not quite as good as Bird, but he does a lot of things that Bird does.
I think he's actually got Kobe in him.
Kobe.
That little fadeaway that he can get any time he wants.
Not as athletic, but I hear you.
But he hits it, Willard.
Well, he's unstoppable when he's on, and the great NBA offensive players are, and that tucks right into the conversation that the two of you have been having all day. Is Steph now stoppable? Because if you want to be a great offensive player in the NBA...
Well, if they're going to blitz you every time, then that's an indictment on what's around Steph. You can't do that to Luka. You could try, but you're going to pay the price.
Okay, that's a great point. I think that's a fair response.
And our guy is not in the building.
He's not in the building yet. And for those who don't know what we've been talking about for months, whoever the Warriors' number two scorer is for weeks, for months now, we've been saying he's not in the building. Maybe he is now. I don't know. I don't know if that's like Schroeder. I mean, he's averaging enough points to be the number two scorer on the Warriors. I don't know if that's going to transfer over to the Warriors. But, it feels like still more moves need to be made.
You guys had me thinking about a question that nobody's asked about Steph, which it just kind of hit me on my drive in today. Is Steph Curry an all-star?
Yes.
Is Steph Curry an all-star this year? Because the game is here, and...
Well, that's a different question. We know how the NBA is.
Yeah,
you're already an all-star. Because if you really did it about this year...
Is he one of the 12 best players in the Western Conference this year?
I would define all-star very differently than that.
Yeah. Well, like, well, if that's your metric, course, I would say
so. You get voted in, and if you don't get voted in, then you get selected.
Yeah, but at a certain point, first of all, he's going to get voted in. He's Steph Curry,
no doubt.
And secondly, at a certain point, I think this is true in all sports.
He didn't start last year.
No, you get the lifetime pass. Steph Curry, LeBron James, I don't care. Are you 48 years old? You're in. Remember when Cal Ripken hit the home run? He wasn't the best shortstop in the league anymore. But like at a certain point, your star is so big that your name is just in cement when it comes to that game. And the NBA would not, like, I firmly believe with the game being hosted here.
Oh, come on.
If the vote doesn't go right, the NBA will make it up. They'll lie to us.
But dude, your point is he ain't playing that. It's 23 points per game, and I had a problem with it. It's all kind of stuff that goes into that, but we're nowhere near that. All that stuff popping off. He's a bona fide all-star.
Yeah. I don't know if he's bona fide, but he'll be one because of the things that you mentioned. But you look at a team that is plummeting in the Western Conference. Plummeting. They've lost 8 of 10, and if you get toward the break and you're back in the old 10 spot again, then, yeah, he'll be an all-star because he's Steph Curry, but is it worthy, is it earned? Shout out James.
I mean, just looking at the guards, I mean,
give them to us.
To the two teams at the top of the Western Conference, OKC and Memphis, have great point guards. So I'm not saying anything except there's a couple point guards on two teams that are doing really well this year. And winning matters when it comes to that kind of stuff, I think. One of the reasons, like, Monte Ellis never was an all-star, even though he put up big numbers. What do you think of what I'm interested in with the Schroeder move is, really? That's all you got for him? Brooklyn?
What do you mean?
I mean,
he thinks that's all.
They got 2 second-round picks.
Why? Why was it so low?
I would have thought they might have been able to get something a little better. Maybe protected first, something like that. Duke can play. Know.
For Schroeder, like who's expiring?
So is Melton.
Yeah.
So they don't save any money.
No. My point is you're no one's given up a one.
Oh, right.
For Dennis Schroeder, who's expired. That would be, I think, that would be bad business. So, you know, you aggregate it, you turn it into two twos.
Stoudy asked why he's been on 8 teams or 9 teams ever. Your guys' thought on that.
He probably wears people out a little
bit. But the Lakers offered him a bag, and he turned down $84 million, got nothing.
Right.
And now it is what it is, but he's playing his best.
I was just thinking about that, Stoudy, when you were breaking it down. Like, what's in it for Brooklyn? Why would you, so early in the cycle, be so eager to trade a guy for an injured player?
Ow.
And you still have to pay D'Anthony Melton. I know that they're both expiring, but you acquire a player and a contract, you still have to pay him.
Right.
So you didn't really save any money.
Mm.
You took your expiring and took on another expiring, and you got 2 second-round picks, which are mostly useless anyway.
What's the Dibs computer? Why?
I wonder. It's kind of like,
well,
something's a little rotten in Denmark.
I think there are a couple things. One is he's on their books for 13 still, but if a guy gets hurt and he's out for the year, like, that money actually comes out of an entity.
Interesting.
And so the Brooklyn actually will save a little bit of money, not much, seven or eight, but they don't have an incentive to be good this year.
Wow.
They've got a lot of protected picks, and I think this was for tanking purposes.
And by the way, I have no issue with that, and they won't say that out loud. But why wouldn't they do that? Why wouldn't they try to be worse? I mean, honestly, like,
the Sixers
is
forever, though, to trust the process.
Yeah, but does anybody
see?
Give me one good reason why Brooklyn is like, no, we better win. You know what I mean?
Maybe that's why ratings are down. I don't know.
Mark Cuban had, like, a few years ago, said this out loud. That like, if you're not going to win, lose.
The worst place to be is in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
but they were a fun
and that's
little
where the
team.
Warriors are right now. Stuck
Ooh,
in the middle.
Man.
Stuck, I mean, in the middle with you.
Sort of.
Well, they're not in the top, they're not
tied
in the bottom.
They're tied for the five. It's the same record as the team that has the 5 seed.
Okay.
Like, so, we're 25 games in. I don't
But offensively, that was incredible what they set records. Defensively, and they're a top defensive team in the league. That's why I'm like, was this just one where you throw out? Dallas didn't have its defense. Warriors had a franchise record 27 threes, 81-74 at half.
Yeah.
Like, it was lightweight embarrassing defensively, but offensively, you set records.
Yeah. To me, that's more discouraging than encouraging. I mean, if you set records offensively, you still lose by double digits on your own floor. Like you've said, the identity of this team is defense.
Jerry, you only turned it over 10 times.
I was like, I found that watching that game as a fan, that felt discouraging. It's just like Dallas can just, it's like Luka can either just score over you, or if you really run at him, he's just like, we're going to run the ball. We're going to run the ball around in a circle and have an open 3-point shooter, and he's probably going to knock it down. That felt very discouraging.
Man.
The Warriors had no answer for that defensively.
I felt like, okay, Luka made some tough shots, obviously, but really what hurt the Warriors was the rotation, where it always ended up, Dallas made every right decision when the Warriors, you know, tried to take the ball out of Doncic's hands or Irving's hand, and it felt like every time they did that, somebody got a corner three. And so that's something that's, you know, you're not going to have to deal with Luka every night, but it wasn't, to me, it's never just they were just making impossible shots. No, they got great looks when Luka wasn't hitting tough ones.
Damn.
They were the better team. And that's like, I guess, the frustrating part for the Warriors.
46 in the first quarter, by the way.
They were the aggressor. They had that game the entire night. All of those things. I think look at the Niners and Warriors seasons, and the frustrating thing that starts to build up is when you lose games that you felt like you should win. Like you were the better team on there, and you had the lead, and that's a different emotion than, wow, we just got our butts kicked.
Because that's like, not what's happening to the Warriors.
Well, usually no. That game against the Rockets, their last loss, you felt like they had it, and then they lost it. This one, to me, it's more discouraging. You know, it's kind of like how the 49ers feel against the Chiefs.
Wow.
It's one thing to blow games against the Rams and the Seahawks and the Cardinals, and the Chiefs come in, you're just like, we got that tucked into our shorts.
I'm not mad at that.
Well, I may as well do it again,
best of luck.
Here we go. Right,
ladies, should I do it again?
Like you got it, baby.
Come on, Steiny.
All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. Extra shout out to one of our special sponsors. Also, you're listening to 95.7 The Game. KGMZ
time for the legal.
And HD1 San Francisco. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Twitch and YouTube powered by First NorCal Credit Union.
My man.
Attaboy.
Steiny, what if I ask you this?
Yeah.
I listen to you guys today, and I think that there are very fair points on both sides of the aisle when it comes to this. Right? The whole now versus the future thing.
Yeah.
All right. So if you can't build around a 36-year-old basketball player anymore, if that's kind of the premise. And right, things are harder and there's the health aspect of it. Okay, if you can't build around that, let me ask you this. If the Warriors were to not do that, what is it that they're holding on to? At one point you said, don't crater the future of the franchise.
Right.
Well, tell me about the future of the franchise.
Well, all I know is that after 2026, let's say, or 2027, when you know Steph's not going to be playing at that level, I gotta have something in my hand, draft pick wise. Because to me, what's really scary is you're 20. You know, he's gone. You don't have any draft picks, and that's a cycle that's sometimes tough to get out of.
So
there's no guarantee.
But the picks are what you're worried about.
Well, the asset of the picks is what I'm worried
about. You're not worried about anyone who's got a name right now?
Like, here's what I would say. I wouldn't give up two future firsts for Jimmy Butler.
Okay.
I might for somebody younger. Siakam.
Not LeBron either.
No. Okay.
Zion, somebody that you were talking about last week.
See, I like Zion, and I might take a chance on him, but I don't, I'm not as desperate. Remember when the Warriors went out and got Baron Davis?
Yep.
He came with a bunch of disclaimers. Yeah. He was a diva, he was hurt, They said he didn't want to really practice, but the Warriors were not very good. So they were desperate, and they made the move, and it worked out. I don't necessarily view the Warriors as so desperate that I would go out and trade for Zion unless you could get him. And keep in mind, what they got Baron Davis for was Dale Davis and, God, who was the other guy? Speedy Claxton? They got Baron Davis when he was really at a low value. But yes, I would be more inclined to give up future first for a younger player.
Yeah, I get that. I am getting more in the space where I don't think that the present is worth it to trade the future. And that means the picks. And for me, it also means Jonathan Kuminga. And we all talk about Kuminga in this system, and maybe it's not a great fit. Well, this system's not going to be the system for very much longer if Steve is gone and Steph and Draymond are all gone. And I think that Jonathan Kuminga can be a part of another system, a new system. And so I don't want to just trade him because maybe he's not a perfect fit for what they're doing right now.
The picks part I get, but in 2 years, this is why, to me, there's so much hand-wringing for the last 6 months, and now everybody's off of pods, but in the summer, people were worried about pods, there's Kuminga and there's Moody. Pretend this team doesn't have Steph, Draymond, and Steve Kerr. What is it?
Well, it's a
lottery team.
Nothing. Yeah, no doubt.
So
there
it's
it
nothing.
Is.
It's right. Nothing.
It's not nothing.
It's nothing.
Well, Kuminga has the...
Exactly. That's disrespectful.
No, because I'm not...
You're calling Jonathan Kuminga nothing.
No, I didn't. See, don't
but he's on the team. You said it's nothing.
How can it be
nothing if he's something?
May I say it?
You may.
That's the aggregate. I'm not calling the individual zeros, but they add up to nothing in 3 years. You don't make the playoffs. You don't have anything special. You will probably be looking to trade them then. You're starting over. No matter what, when Steph leaves, starting over.
So they don't have the ability to go out and get a free agent at that point and use the money that they have.
How does free agency work in the NBA? There's no high-level free agents that want to go join nothing. They want to join each other. You're going to, I'm not saying that you can't do that.
Man.
But the bottom line is, 2 years from now, you're starting over.
In fairness, they might have money.
Maybe.
Right.
With what they have now, they don't have
Jonathan
money.
Jonathan Kuminga is allowed to be better than he is now.
I told you, they would turn it to the
TJD
Lakers.
And all the rest of these guys, they could be better players then, and I hope they will be.
I agree with you. However, you're still starting over, and to me, that is a worthwhile risk to take. That's all. That's all I think.
It's a
worthwhile risk to take.
You can't do both.
No, and you're very unlikely to get a title either way. I acknowledge that. So we don't, they're too old.
Yeah.
Great. You're probably right.
Yeah.
But I'm right now of the spirit of give it a whirl. I'd be interested to see what's actually out there. If it is just LeBron or Jimmy Butler.
But you owe him that.
It's not, I mean, yes, but it's
Come
not
on,
even.
Willard, you
I tell
owe
you
him
what,
that.
You owe
man.
Who that?
Steph.
You don't owe him that. You're the owner of the team, and all you owe is to your fellow investors to continue to put out a product that is going to draw fans and make them money.
Yeah, and the fans, the draw is with him in a Warrior uniform.
Correct.
Winning 30, 40, 50 games. So until that comes to a drip-drop end, Joe Lacob is winning more than he's paying Steph. But I'm just telling you, I agree with you. You can't do both. And Stoney loves picks. We saw Philly with the picks. We saw OKC with the picks.
You guys are getting picks mixed up with assets.
Correct. Yep.
When you have a pick, a future pick, it doesn't mean we're going to get a great player.
Right.
It means we have an asset here
that
maybe you could use two of them to get a player you want, not necessarily going into the draft to get a player. But all the Warriors' picks right now that they own are assets right now
and in the future. And the whole, he won't say
if you're going to use them, that's all.
Yeah,
I'd be real careful.
The title of this show, to me, was just predicated on whatever you're seeing from Steph Curry. To me, I'm not ready to say he's Larry Holmes and it's past him. Nobody's what they were 2-3 years ago. He needs help more now than ever.
And I think you owe it to them to mortgage some of the youngsters' futures who we don't know might be all-stars or whatnot, but go get him some help. They're blitzing him right now, and at his age, more now than ever since he's been a Warrior, he needs that different type of help.
I know, Joe.
And I love Schroeder, but that's going to help.
That's help.
Alleviate.
Yeah.
But we're talking about that big boy help if they choose to say, Steph ain't going to stick around if they're not going to make the playoffs again.
What if we said it this way? And I'm not worried about him leaving or not sticking around, but the whole idea of they owe it to him, what if we adjusted the way of saying that to just, it's the best thing to do right now? Because I know that one of the more interesting things that we got from Dunleavy and Lake of both speaking in the last 24 hours is that Dunleavy said obsessive about maximizing Steph's window. And then Joe was like, I don't know what this timeline window thing is about Steph's time, Draymond's. And then he goes, what about mine? Like, in other words, I do think there's a little bit of a disconnect within the Warrior organization of Mike Dunleavy, Steph Curry, Steve Kerr, and Draymond Green are all about, dude, you need to maximize us. And Joe is over here going, well, no, it's my team. It's my team. And I plan to be good every year, which I think is a fool's errand. I don't think he'll be able to do it. We've never seen him own without Steph Curry on the team. But I know that's the way Joe thinks.
Wow.
Joe is very, very, he's got big ego about this, and he thinks that he can just smooth everything over and be awesome all the time. I doubt it. Let's see it. But I do. That's, there is a disconnect there.
I won't bring up, you got me thinking this, I won't bring up the Wiseman pick, but I will. Do you think Pods was untouchable that created them not to pull off a trade this summer?
No.
And I don't either.
No.
Because if that were the case, because maybe they wanted Kuminga.
Okay, well, then you're not all in for Steph. Like, if there's a player who held up the deal for marketing,
well, the Warriors
would they're kind of not.
But what if it wasn't the players?
Exactly.
What if it's what you were talking about? Like Danny Ainge wanted four.
And Ballmer
picks.
Didn't even want to play ball with helping the Warriors.
Well,
I don't know what held it up.
But that's my point. If they want four picks, then they're not going to mortgage the future for that. And maybe
leaked out that Pods was untouchable. I'm just saying.
Well, the owner said it himself. He's a future all-star. And we'll play the cut a little bit later in the show when he spoke.
Man, how's that looking?
Summer League.
Are you going
to
do that?
To me,
how's that
why
looking,
wouldn't
though?
We do it? Those are his words. And, you know, Mark talked about disconnect. For me, the disconnect is not so much with the players. It is in the approach that individuals are taking. Joe Lacob is an open book. He's going to tell you things like, we don't ever want to be a lottery team. Well, so far 1 year in, you were a lottery team since you said that. And Pods is a future all-star. And Dunleavy and Kerr are much tighter to the vest when it comes to telling you what they want to do or how they feel. So for me, that might be the disconnect where Lacob and Dunleavy and Kerr are approaching these things in different fashions.
Yeah, I think it's interesting.
No doubt about it.
If you're talking about first round draft pick assets, I'm much more activated on like when are they? Mm. How far into the future do you go? Giving up the 2025 first round draft pick to me is completely on the table. That's completely on the table because that's tucked within Steph's career. But you start giving up 27 and 29. That's when I think that they're hesitant.
Yeah, 27 is the last year he's under contract.
Yeah, that's life. So that's where I would bet the Warriors get hesitant because that's when they know
they need
to start rebooting. But that's all. I mean, I don't know. You know, I don't know what to tell you based on I don't know what's on the table right now. And we're early in this process as far as the big names. So what we're being told right now is probably not what it's going to look like in February. Everybody's posturing.
Yeah.
But I also just think that without knowing exactly what's on the table, to me there's a little bit too much fingernail hanging on for dear life with names like Kuminga, Pods, and Moody. As much as I know they're drafted and we get emotionally invested, and so we want to see them do well, and they've got their heads screwed on straight, and they're good players who show all these things, it's all true. It does not change the fact that in 2 years you're starting over. You are totally starting over.
I think
over.
You are. Yeah, and you've got, if you have Kuminga and you sign him this offseason and he continues to be a 20-point kind of a game scorer, that to me is not starting over. Are you going to be immediately good? No, but you won't have Draymond or Wiggins or Steph, and that right there is about $110 million in available space. So you don't just have to eat it like the Spurs did. Or Oklahoma City, where now you're just going to hope for five straight good drafts and then get going again. You can restart it in the market, in the open market, and I think that they will.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing is, like, so Curry's under contract the rest of this year.
And two more.
Next year and the year after that.
Sure.
Yep.
So they're not going to be able to change the team if that's his last year.
He's going to be 39.
Right, but everybody...
There's less hand-wringing. There's less pressure at that point. Steph's not going to be, you know what I mean? Like, talk to a Laker fan right now.
Well, no, that's what I mean.
All of a sudden, a Laker fan right now will tell you, like, if you propose something that involves the names LeBron or AD, they're listening.
No, they know. I get that.
Because they know it's cooked and they're at the end, and LeBron's at the end.
But there's a very real consequence that they have to deal with, and it's a reality, and that is in 2 years... they will have a player making $63 million
on an expiring deal
who's never been, you know, who's at the low point of his career.
Yeah.
And we'll see if they can turn him around at that point, but that's going to be tough.
It is, but his $63 million a year is still going to be a net positive for the organization.
Sure, for the organization.
Revenue. And honestly, we have to look at it from that standpoint. It's not just what the fans want. And we all want to win a championship every year. If you're Joe Lacob and you're a businessman, you're looking at 63 for Steph at that point, and maybe it is a farewell season, you're going to be making buckets of money.
Well, I meant more of it's going to be hard to be good.
It's already hard to be good, and that'll be my point as Mark and I get into it, because
I don't think that
you can do anything in the present to be good enough to make noise in the Western Conference. I don't believe there's a trade out there.
They're a top-five defense. Do you think that's a mirage?
Yes, I do. I think that they're a pretty good defensive team, and they're a pretty good offensive team with a couple of aging stars and a big, large group of mediocre role players.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll leave it there. Sounds like you guys have a lot to talk about, and you're going to talk about it on 95.7, The Game.